From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 17th day of May, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kirk Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Mark Russo will join us from Everstream Analytics near Chicago to discuss the agricultural weather forecast. And we'll take up what's been happening in the cash grain market with Brian Stark of the Andersons right here in Champaign County, Illinois, all on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn for the day at $6.52.5, up 8.75. September at $5.66.5, up 3.5. Those are both old crop. New crop December, $5.37.25, down 5.5 cents. July soybeans, $15.87.5, up 1.25. August down 2 at $15.25.5, and November at $13.97, down 3.75. Bean meal futures at $4.14.90, down $3. $1.60, the bean oil at $68.97, $1.39 lower. Wheat futures July soft red at $6.99.75, 7.5 lower, and the hard red July at $6.52.25, down 5.5 cents. Live cattle futures June contracted $1.15.35, up a nickel. August down 40 cents at $118.42.5. Feeders finished the August at $152.75, that's $1.60 higher, and lean hogs at $108.65 for 100 pounds. Down 7.5 cents on the afternoon. Crude oil futures at $66.30 a barrel, about 93 cents higher for the day. Diesel fuel at $2.68 of a cent. That's a two and a half cents higher for the day. And gasoline on the RBOB at $2.15 7/10 is 3 1/10 of a cent higher on the afternoon. Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities now joins us to take a look at this marketplace. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, a good wet afternoon. Quite a bit of rain around here through the central part of the Midwest. But more importantly, a good warm late week activity, which will be welcomed.
Yeah, so both of those things will combine to get the crop off to a really good start in a large portion of the Corn Belt. The marketplace remains under pressure after last week. Is that more profit-taking, or is there really some pressure coming from new crop corn conditions?
All of the above. When you look at the commodity fund liquidation, we've lost over 100,000 contracts in their long position here on this almost dollar down. So they've been kind of exiting the marketplace. The momentum indicators have turned down, so short-term traders have taken a liquidation point or a short-term sell signal here over the near term. Fundamentally, to get a picture on why, what's going on, what's taking place, is we do have a better forecast for the upper Midwest, the Dakotas, and more importantly, Canada. Not a soaker for the most part, but South Dakota. Southern North Dakota received a little bit of moisture here, and there's more in the forecast for them. So that will hopefully help them out to get their crop in the ground. As far as the Midwest here, warmer temperatures are expected here once we go past midweek, some 80-degree readings. And, no shortage of moisture in some areas. In fact, probably some severe flooding in some isolated areas for the most part. So we'll see how that unfolds here as we go through the week. But it's hard to get real bullish with too much rain around in some areas. Also, too, what we saw a little bit on the negative side was the April NOPA crush report came in at 160.3 million bushels. The trade is looking for 168.7 million acres. So we've been squeaking out these record crushes every month, one after another, and all of a sudden we've taken a step backwards. Soybean oil stocks, 1.7 versus 1.78, and so that was a little friendly to the soybean oil market, and world vegetable oil markets continue to remain robust. Fundamentally, did see 1.7 million metric ton corn sale to China and 128,000 ton corn sale to Mexico. Both those were new crops, so we're sort of shying away from old crop, and the sales from here on out are sort of focused on the new crop inventories. They try to get some purchases on the books, and those sales taken at these higher levels sort of tells the trade they're not too scared of paying up to secure some supplies is when we look at the big world picture, it still remains relatively tight, Todd.
And then a couple of other things. Looking forward into the new crop, of course, crop production or crop progress report is due out this afternoon. And the old Informa company, under its new title, released a really big acreage figure late last week, something like 96 million potential acres for corn.
Yeah, that kind of got into the markets last week with a better forecast of some rain and ideas we could see. 2-3 million more acres, as much as 6 million, 5 to 6 million more corn acres put the brakes on the rally. We better not see those higher acres because the credibility on these numbers have just gone out the window here for the last 2 years. So we need to be fairly close to what they were looking at here in March. I know things change and so forth, but fundamentally we really didn't see a big shift in the fundamentals. There's some talk of maybe corn coming out of some wheat acres, but man, this wheat looks good in some areas. So if that would happen, be more towards the west or in the Dakotas where we rob a few corn acres from spring wheat, just the fact that they were waiting on some moisture here. But to get the first real solid number on that, that's not going to be till June. So we got a long time between now and then.
A lot of acreage put in the ground over the last week?
Boy, I think we played caught up here for the most part. There's a few guys done. A lot were down to a day or two. But we're going to see some big numbers here, big increases on this afternoon's planning progress report. And it's going to vary from region to region, and some of those numbers might lag. But when you drive around, look around, a lot of stuff's in the ground, a lot of stuff's coming up. We just need some 80-degree plus weather here to turn that yellow to green color.
I wonder if farmers asking about old crop.
Not a whole lot, how high is or you know, just hanging on with a little bit remaining inventory. A lot has been moved, been sold. If we do see some additional pullbacks in here, I think the trade will, or the producers will be more willing, maybe replace a little bit ownership here, see what summer weather brings. But pretty well, old crop's done. The focus is the new crop. Trying not to get too oversold here ahead of the growing season. So from the management point of view, the risk is on new crop versus old crop.
What are you talking to them about as it relates to new crop in that case, both corn and soybeans?
We've done a very wide range of different strategies trying to keep up with the marketplace. For those who bought puts, we rolled those up once, and we've converted put options to actual cash sales. For those guys a little leery about selling cash, you can still do some creative price floor strategies, put the floor in it, but leave your upside open. For those who had sold calls, that's been a little tough one here. We had to move some cash grain on some strength here and come out of the call, treat that as a hedge for the most part. So this depends where one's at with and what their comfort zone is. For straight hedge, boy, that's been a margin call daily event, and there's been some relief there. But the main thing is, the basis is held in there for the most part, and that's a strong sign that there's some strong demand underneath the marketplace.
Are you watching the ethanol numbers closely?
Not a whole lot, but overall ethanol demand's been robust. The numbers have tightened up. We continue to see ethanol move out of the country here. A lot of the people that were negative here have kind of pull back from that. The thing about ethanol is that at the last time with these higher levels, we start to hear these people come out of the woodwork fuel for food, and hopefully they will stay out of the news media here, because as this gasoline consumption resumes here on people traveling here this summer, that's going to be a big bright spot.
Hey, thank you so very much for joining us this afternoon.
Very good. Take care.
You too. Kirk Kimmel is with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand at willag.org, willag.org. And don't forget, you can hear our agricultural programming there anytime you'd like. If you want to scroll down the page, you'll also find information from the agricultural economist, crop scientist, and animal scientist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus from the U of I, along with with the latest agricultural news from my Twitter feed and a way to listen to us as a podcast if you'd prefer to do it that way. It's all at willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. One of the categories that is the biggest use category for the primary crops in the United States, corn and soybeans, is the livestock sector, and consumption of meat in the U.S. is important as a factor in that particular sector of the United States economy. Gretchen Cook and Gary Schnittke at the University of Illinois have penned an article for the FarmDoc Daily website. It's titled An Overview of Meat Consumption in the United States, and Gretchen now joins us. Thank you, Gretchen, so much for being here with us today. Can you tell me a little bit about what the premise behind the article might have been?
Of course. The meat industry is a major use of corn and soybean production in the United States. And given the increasing conversation about climate, health, and ethical considerations facing the meat industry, we provided a discussion of past trends of meat consumption in the United States, looking at whether that was going to increase, decrease, and therefore increase demand for corn and soybean production in the United States.
And what do current and past red meat consumption trends look like in the United States?
So overall, meat consumption has been fairly stable in the United States over the past two decades. We have seen a shift, however, over those decades, from beef consumption, which has decreased, towards chicken consumption, which has increased. So overall, you're seeing a fairly stable total amount of meat consumption, but a shift between those two proteins, beef being the more expensive of the two proteins, towards a shift to the less expensive chicken protein.
So how have the consumption patterns in the United States shifted over time, in particular as it's related to beef?
So overall, as meat consumption has remained fairly stable, overall beef consumption has decreased over the past two decades from about 97 pounds per capita to 83 pounds per capita. On the flip side of that, you see that chicken consumption has increased at the same time that beef consumption is decreasing, from 89 pounds to about 112 pounds today.
So tell me about the total consumption of red meat over time in the United States and how it's varied.
So the overall consumption of meat has stayed fairly stable. You do see a dip from 2007 to 2013. That dip, especially in beef, coincides with the Great Recession in 2008, where we saw a reduction of lower disposable income in the United States. That period of beef decline also corresponds with higher corn prices. You saw that for the increase in ethanol production from 2006 to 2013. And higher corn prices obviously mean higher costs of beef production, in particular with the highest beef conversion rate we see. So overall, during that time, you saw a decline, and then they've gradually risen again in 2019.
And what's the highest year for red meat consumption?
The highest year we've seen so far is 2019, as that consumption has recovered and stabilized out.
What are the implications, do you think, going forward?
Going forward, typically we see globally an increase in meat consumption as incomes rise. But as we see in the trends overall presented in the United States, consumption has remained fairly stable, even though incomes have continued to rise. So overall, we think that the United States has reached peak meat, if you will, as the market has become saturated and consumption is saturated at that level. So we don't expect to see a large increase in per capita meat consumption in the United States over the next decade.
Gretchen Cook is a research assistant in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana-Champaign. She and agricultural economist Gary Schnittke have penned an article for the FarmDoc Daily website. It's entitled An Overview of Meat Consumption in the United States. You may read it in full at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. On this Monday, let's check in with Mark Russo at Everstream Analytics. Hey, Mark, thanks for being here for the day.
Hi, Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Well, weather forecast should be pretty interesting. As we're talking, there's rainfall across a large part of the Midwest, I believe. Let's begin with what that looks like and work our way through the next couple of weeks.
Well, Todd, looking ahead for this week and even on into next week, it's looking like more of the focus of rainfall here is going to be in the central U.S. Areas in around the Mississippi westward to the plains is going to be the focus of attention for rainfall. So a bit of a different pattern compared to recent weeks, where it's more so kind of the delta and southeastern part of the country seeing some of the higher precip amounts and generally less active conditions up north. So a little rearrangement of the distribution of rainfall coming up here, which all in all, we think that's more favorable in general for the Midwest and actually helping to dry out some of the previously wet fields that have caused, you know, some planting delays, more so in either the southern Midwest or even down into the Delta and Southeast.
And after the rain, we get some heat?
Yeah, temperatures are certainly warming up, and that's also been one of the changes here in the outlook for the balance of May. Temperatures climbing to levels anywhere from 5 to 10 degrees warmer than normal. Obviously, a huge change from the unseasonably cool temperatures here so far this month. Not expecting any kind of extreme heat, but there will be a couple of days, especially coming up later on this week, where high temperatures will be in the 80s, even potentially right around 90 degrees in a few areas here of the Corn Belt. But again, very brief in duration.
The hard red winter wheat areas were supposed to get rainfall. Did it shift so that it's not quite over that area as it begins to come through?
Oh, well, Todd, they picked up significant rains over the weekend in portions of southwest Kansas, even down through the Oklahoma and the Texas panhandles, even all the way down into the cotton country in around the Lubbock, Texas region. So a good chunk of the southern plains, hard red belt, as well as cotton acreage picked up major rainfall over the weekend. And some more is on the way here, not all encompassing, but especially the areas of western Kansas down through the northern part of the Texas panhandle. That's where the more significant rainfall looks to be here coming up.
Last week, some limited rainfall made its way through the northern plains. I think limited might be a heavy word for that, but do they look like they'll be getting any relief from the dry conditions they've suffered through?
Yeah, we see some relief around the northern plains, even up in the portions of the Canadian prairies, but it's a variable situation. Some areas picking up more significant rains, like right on the North Dakota, Saskatchewan, Manitoba border, but then other areas such as like southeast Montana and southwest North Dakota look to miss out with rainfall coming up. So a bit mixed across the Northern Plains region coming up.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. Now let's turn our attention to the cash grain side of the marketplace. Brian Stark is here from the Andersons in Champaign. It's been kind of a long week and a half. Brian, thank you for being with us today. I suppose a long week and a half if you were wanting to sell cash grain, either old or new crop, at a higher price, because it certainly has dipped sharply. Can you tell me about what happened over the last week?
I think the biggest thing is the bull needs to be fed every day. The crop report last week obviously came in at expectations, maybe is slightly disappointing with a new crop carryout at 1.5 on corn and a slightly higher carryout 1.40 on soybeans. And I think the trade maybe was looking for a little more bullish ammunition. And so we've been waiting for a profit-taking round where, you know, corn has been up almost $2.50 prior to last week over the past 6 weeks and haven't had much of a profit-taking scenario. And with Informa coming out and saying that, you know, planting intentions might grow June 30th to 96 million late last week, kind of exasperated that in the new crop values. And with not really a lot of weather issues in the United States, we do know, obviously, Safrinha crop in Brazil is obviously commanding attention with the dry spell down there, but kind of old news. And I think that's just kind of what the markets looked at and said, okay, we're going to take some profit here until we see how we progress as we get deeper into the growing season. season, and we're yet to find some stabilization here from that standpoint.
Yeah, the market, of course, working on the futures and what it thinks will happen, but I'm wondering whether from the cash side, whether things are a little different or not.
They are. I think if you look at the cash market, the corn market has been fairly calm, yet a little bit firm, and the end user continues to remain hand to mouth. I think the biggest question that's holding back maybe a real firm tone and basis is your old crop, new crop inverses. Obviously, the deadline's coming for the producer and the commercial where they look at a potential 80-cent inverse from July to September corn, and obviously a 60-cent inverse from July to August beans, and that incents people. The bean market in the last week has gotten heavy. It feels like the domestic processor has gotten coverage at least through June, and obviously basis has weakened some, but corn continues to hang in there, and expect a little bit of a firm tone at least until we get into the middle of June and see how coverage is, but that's really kind of where basis is trading here over the last week.
And the bean market's coming under pressure, I assume, from imports coming out of Brazil.
That is a big component of it as well. Not only are we getting kind of the last bit of beans let go from the farmer and the producer, at least at a basis level, you've also got potential imports from South America, which in similar tight years, you've seen a little bit of that. And I think the market's recognizing that there's finding ways to navigate this tight carryout till we get to new crop. And I think obviously that's added downward pressure, not only to the board, but also the basis here in the last week.
Yeah, so you think the market will stay heavy?
I think so, at least on the bean side from a basis perspective, because with the exports, kind of the main export program for the United States is over for beans, and obviously the domestic interior is what we're driving at right now that'll support value. Obviously, crush margins are still very good. Product demand for oil and even meal is better here than the last week. So I don't suspect we're going to completely erode, but we've certainly take the top end off of things here in the interim.
Again, for corn, kind of a game of chicken between old crop holders on the farm and what they have to get rid of by the time they get to new crop and things begin to change over, I suppose.
Yeah, I think that's the big question. We've told producers that, you know, whether you have it on farm unpriced, whether it's sitting in the elevator, you've got a 80-cent discount you're looking at July to September. Now, some of the basis levels may cover up some of that as they roll to September, but those bids could start to change as we enter the latter part of June. So it's something to pay attention to. And I think ethanol demand is going to have a lot to do with how tight we feel between now and new crop on the corn side. Will driving miles increase as we start to relax restrictions in certain areas with CDC guidelines being updated here this past week? So I think a lot of that could be supportive to the market, but the window is shrinking for sure when it comes to taking advantage of that, given the futures inverse the market's currently projecting to the producer and the commercial elevator.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Brian Stark is with the Andersons, joined us here on the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.